I didn't know it was time to come up because he wasn't waiting. Well, I would like to add to the announcements, if I may, and Linda and I have had a conversation about this. You're going to have some, we didn't talk about it, but I did talk with Jan about it, so. On the 24th of September, the last Sunday, which I'm scheduled to be here anyway, you're going to have a couple of very special guests. The founders of our movement, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, will be here. So, actually, yours truly is Myrtle, a friend of mine, actually my boss of many years, and I have done this skit. We did it out in St. Charles, and we've done a lot of Bible theater together. So he is going to be Papa Charlie, and I'm going to be Myrtle. So I hope you can join us that day, okay? Thank you. And just act like you don't know who I am when I get here. Okay, would everyone like to do a little exercise? Would you mind standing up? Thank you. Okay. For those who wish to and are able, okay? Okay, and as we do that, it's a reminder that we're standing on holy ground. That we are standing on holy ground in this sanctuary. We'll be standing on holy ground when we leave and we're out in the foyer. On holy ground when we're downstairs socializing. On holy ground when we're in the parking lot, in our car. On holy ground at home, at work, at play, wherever we are. We're always on holy ground. Whether we have feet or not. Whether those feet can hold us or not, we're on holy ground. Because the holy ground is not a piece of dirt or grass or carpet or concrete. It is spiritual standing. It's standing in the presence. You may be seated. I forgot I'd have you standing all through the service. I'm sure many of you have heard this wonderful quote by Charles Fillmore about that presence upon which we stand, the presence that stands before us, upholds us, is within us. And Charles writes, "I am now in the presence of pure being and immersed in the Holy Spirit of life, love, and wisdom." I'm sure you've heard that prayer before. But let's affirm this together, okay? I am now in the presence of pure being together. I am now in the presence of pure being. And immersed in the Holy Spirit, and immersed in the Holy Spirit of life, love, and wisdom. That is standing on holy ground. And then to be standing on that holy ground and look before us and see a bush that's burning and calls our name and tells us to remove our sandals. We remove our sandals out of reverence and also because it exposes our understanding, that which we stand under our feet, because we are on holy ground. Now, what character is it that you think of when you hear these words in the Bible? Moses. Moses. Yes, of course. It's the story of Moses. So Moses did not just happen to this place where he stood before the burning bush, but it was a process for him. It was a process of before, during, and after. The before, the preparation that brought him to this place. And so the story of Moses is one that's familiar to many of us. It begins when The Pharaoh at the time had decreed that all the male Hebrew infants were to be drowned because he wanted to wipe them out. And so Moses' mother, out of selfless love and compassion, built a basket, placed her baby boy in that basket, put him in the Nile River, and followed him as he's floating down the river. And he floats by the palace, and the Pharaoh's daughter, who happens to be outside, sees him and has compassion for him. So she takes the baby from that basket and she raises him as her own. So Moses grows up as the Pharaoh's grandson. All the power and privileges that that brings. He also was a very compassionate man. Probably the compassion that he learned, even though maybe not consciously, from his mother, who showed such selfless love and compassion by giving him away to save him. And compassion by the Pharaoh's daughter who took him in. So with this sense of justice and compassion and all this power and privilege that he has, as he was moving through the city one day, he saw one of the Hebrew slaves being beaten by one of the overseers. And he was so outraged that he killed the overseer. Because of that, he had to get out of town because the Pharaoh put a price on his head. So he left, and then with a lot of different moves and turns, ended up in a place called Midian, and he ended up as a shepherd. Big change, son of the Pharaoh to being a shepherd. But it was the time as a shepherd that he spent a lot of time alone. He walked, he listened, he prayed, he meditated, he reflected. Things that he never had time to do when he was in the role of the Pharaoh's son. And then one day, when he had his flock out, and metaphysically our flock is our feelings and our thoughts, he went to the mountain of God, Horeb. And Horeb means solitude. And it was there in that high place that he encountered the burning bush. So we have the before, and now we're in the now moment. Here he is. And this is the account in Exodus 3. From the bush, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire. And Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. So he thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. And then, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, he said, Moses, Moses. And Moses answered, here I am. And then God said, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this moment, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. But then the fear subsided. And God said to Moses that he wanted him to lead his people out of a place of slavery in Egypt to the promised land. And then an argument ensued. Moses, oh, I'm not good enough. You need to send my brother Aaron. He could do a much better job than I can do. And God said, no, I'll be with you. You just go to the Pharaoh and just say, I sent you. Now that's a biggie. God sent me. Well, after a lot of a tug of war of 10 plagues, indeed the Pharaoh did listen. And then we move to the after. The before, the during, the after. that he stood before the burning bush. And what came after is that because Moses said yes, he could have declined, but he said yes because he knew that God was with him. What wonderful things he accomplished. He lived for what he was created. He indeed led the children of Israel out of slavery across the Red Sea through the wilderness. And then while there, even took time to receive the Ten Commandments. So we look at this story like all the wonderful stories in Scripture. And know that this is our story as well. Right here in 2017, for whatever is going on in our life right now. Do you believe that you were created to do something mighty? I do too. I believe that every one of us was created to do something mighty. Doesn't mean enormous. What mighty means is what we're created to do, what the gift is that we bring. It can be composing a piece of music. It can be starting a movement, starting a new career, finding a new place for grandpa to live. It could be anything. It's our calling. It's our purpose. But it's mighty because it's why we're here. Not just to take up space, but to live our purpose. And so as we look at this beautiful story of Moses, the before, the during, and the after, that before the preparation, always the preparation in coming to that place where we can hear God tell us what is ours to do. That Moses left the place where he was the Pharaoh's grandson, not on his own accord, but nonetheless he left. And I don't believe that for the next few years that he pondered over that, like, oh, I made such a mistake, I need to go back and make that right. I'm sure he felt badly, repented, and moved on. And I think what happens often for us and what gets in the way of us living the mighty purpose that God has for us is that we get caught up in our mistakes. That we find ourselves living in that place of remorse and guilt and shame and reliving it over and over and over, and it paralyzes us. We can't move. We can't go about our purpose when we're there. So to learn from whatever mistakes we've made, bless them and move on. And then to let go of all the other things that might be keeping us in that place. Anger, bigotry, unforgiveness. We know all those negative things that hold us down. And then be willing to go out and be a shepherd. To shepherd in our own thoughts and beliefs and look at them. Spend alone time with God. Walking in the meadow under the stars. Listening, praying. Until finally we come to that place where we stand before the burning bush because we have reached that place and we can hear what we're called to do. And then when we hear our name, John, Linda, speak your name. Oh, come on. That we'll hear it. And then we'll say, here I am. You know, the other evening, I went to a Shabbat service with some very dear friends. And there was a cantor who travels the world, actually. His name is Rick Wright, I believe is his last name. Absolutely wonderful. And one of the exercises that he had us do was to lift our arm up and then to point our finger down towards our head and to say, "Hey, I'm here," to God. "Linda, John, Henry, I'm here. Let's do that. It's fun. Put your arm up, straight up." And he said, reach up like you're reaching for something. Okay, and then point it down towards your head and go, "I'm here.
I'm here."
Let's do it again.
"I'm here."
One more time. "I'm here." Yes, that I'm here, that I hear, that I'm ready to go, whatever it is that I'm supposed to do. And I'm ready to go with the promise that God gave to Moses, and that promise was, "I am with you." All you have to do is say, "Hey, God sent me." So whatever we're out to do, just say, "God sent me." Who's going to argue with that? God is with me. God sent me. So that we are always standing on holy ground, on the whole of spirit, always immersed in that love and light and wisdom. What a wonderful place to be. But it's a place where we find ourselves only when we come into an awareness of where we are. That is always there. The holy ground is always there. God is always there. But we have to be aware. And we have to say, "Come on.
I'm here."
I'm here. Holy ground, standing in the presence. And that presence and power is the beautiful affirmation that we come together and repeat every time we're together at a worship service all over the world. So if you will join me in speaking these beautiful words of truth and power, that there's only one presence, one power in the universe at work in my life, God, the good omnipotent, together. There is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life, God the good, omnipotent.